Manuscript Releases, Volume 3, Numbers 162 to 209. M.R., Number 192. Ellen G. White Statements Bearing on the Question of the Day Line, Additional Miscellaneous Materials. God rested on the seventh day, and set it apart for man to observe in honor of his creation of the heavens and the earth in 6 literal days. He blessed and sanctified and made holy the day of rest. When men are so careful to search and dig, to see in regard to the precise period of time, we are to say, God made his Sabbath for a round world, and when the seventh day comes to us in that round world, controlled by the sun that rules the day, it is the time in all countries and lands to observe the Sabbath. In the countries where there is no sunset for months, and again, no sunrise for months, the period of time will be calculated by records kept. The Lord accepts all the obedience of every creature he has made, according to the circumstances of time in the sunrising and sunsetting world. The Sabbath was made for a round world, and therefore obedience is required of the people that are in perfect consistency with the Lord's created world. Sister Harlow has been speaking of you to me. She says that you are in some confusion in regard to the day line. Now, my dear sister, this talk about the day line is only a something that Satan has devised as a snare. He seeks to bewitch the senses, as he does in saying, "Lo, here is Christ," or "There is Christ." There will be every fiction and devising of Satan to lead persons astray, but the word is, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, "Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not." Matthew 24, verse 23 to 26. We have the positive word of God in regard to the Sabbath. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death, for whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. Exodus 31, verse 12 to 18. Is it possible that so much importance can be clustered about those who observe the Sabbath, and yet no one can tell when the Sabbath comes? Then where is the people who bear the badge or the sign of God? What is the sign? The seventh day Sabbath, which the Lord blessed and sanctified, and pronounced holy, with great penalties for its violation. The seventh day Sabbath is in no uncertainty. It is God's memorial of his work of creation. It is set up as a heaven-given memorial to be observed as a sign of obedience. God wrote the whole law with his finger on 2 tables of stone. Now, my sister, although I am at present sick, I write sitting up in bed to tell you that we are not to give the least credence to the dayline theory. It is a snare of Satan brought in by his own agents to confuse minds. You see how utterly impossible for this thing to be, that the world is all right observing Sunday, and God's remnant people are all wrong. This theory of the dayline would make all our history for the past 55 years a complete fallacy. But we know where we stand. My sister, let not your faith fail. We are to stand fast by our colors, the commandments of God, and the faith of Jesus. All those who hold the beginning of their confidence firm unto the end will keep the seventh-day Sabbath, which comes to us as marked by the sun. The fallacy of the dayline is a trap of Satan to discourage. I know what I am speaking about. Have faith in God. Shine where you are, as a living stone in God's building. The children of God will be triumphant. They will come off conquerors and more than conquerors over all the opposing, persecuting elements. Fear not. By the power of Bible truth and love exemplified in the cross and set home by the Holy Spirit, we shall have the victory. The whole battle before us hinges upon the observance of the true Sabbath of Jehovah. I can write no more now, but I say, give no ear to heresy. Cling to a plain, thus saith the Lord. He will comfort and bless you, and will give you joy in your heart. Praise the Lord that we have clear light and a plain, distinct message to bear. Elder Himes, my brother in Christ Jesus, I received your donation of $40. In the name of our Redeemer, I thank you. Be assured we shall invest this money in the best possible way to accomplish the most good for the salvation of souls. The spirited participation evidenced by your donation for this field has rejoiced my heart, for it testifies that you have not lost the missionary spirit which prompted you first to give yourself to the work, and then to give your means to the Lord, to proclaim the first and second angels' messages in their time and order to the world. This is a great gratification to me, for it bears an honorable testimony that your heart is still in the work. I see the proof of your love to the Lord Jesus Christ in your free will offering for this region beyond. Again, I thank you for your generous contribution. E.G. White could not control the visions. It is utterly false that I have ever intimated I could have a vision when I pleased. There is not a shade of truth in this. I have never said I could throw myself into visions when I pleased, for this is simply impossible. I have felt for years that if I could have my choice and please God as well, I would rather die than have a vision, for every vision places me under great responsibility to bear testimonies of reproof and warning, which has ever been against my feelings, causing me affliction of soul that is inexpressible. Never have I coveted my position, and yet I dare not resist the Spirit of God and seek an easier position. The Spirit of God has come upon me at different times, in different places, and under various circumstances. My husband has had no control of these manifestations of the Spirit of God. Many times he has been far away when I have had visions. Information has been received from Battle Creek that the work upon testimonies is not accepted. Reference is to the work being done in response to the General Conference session action of November 16, 1883. I wish to state some matters which you can do what you please with. These statements you have heard me make before, that I was shown years ago that we should not delay publishing the important light given me because I could not prepare the matter perfectly. My husband was at times very sick, unable to give me the help that I should have had, and that he could have given me had he been in health. On this account, I delayed putting before the people that which has been given me in vision. But I was shown that I should present before the people in the best manner possible the light received. Then, as I received greater light, and as I used the talent God had given me, I should have increased ability to use in writing and in speaking. I was to improve everything, as far as possible, bringing it to perfection, that it might be accepted by intelligent minds. As far as possible, every defect should be removed from all our publications. As the truth should unfold and become widespread, every care should be exercised to perfect the works published. I saw, in regard to Brother Andrew's History of the Sabbath, that he delayed the work too long. Other erroneous works were taking the field and blocking the way, so that minds would be prejudiced by the opposing elements. I saw that thus much would be lost. After the first edition was exhausted, then he could make improvements, but he was seeking too hard to arrive at perfection. This delay was not as God would have it. Now, Brother Smith, I have been making a careful, critical examination of the work that has been done on the testimonies, and I see a few things that I think should be corrected in the matter brought before you and others at the General Conference. But as I examine the matter more carefully, I see less and less that is objectionable. Where the language used is not the best, I want it made correct and grammatical, as I believe it should be in every case where it can be without destroying the sense. I am instructed to say that the precious truth for this time is to open more and more clearly to human minds. In a special sense, men and women are to eat of Christ's flesh and drink of his blood. There will be a development of the understanding, for the truth is capable of constant expansion. The divine originator of truth will come into closer and still closer communion with those who follow on to know him. As God's people receive his word as the bread of heaven, they will know that his goings forth are prepared as the morning. They will receive his word as the bread of heaven. They will know that his goings forth are prepared as the morning. They will receive spiritual strength as the body receives physical strength when food is eaten. We do not half understand the Lord's plan in taking the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage and leading them through the wilderness into Canaan. As we gather up the divine rays shining from the gospel, we shall have a clearer insight into the Jewish economy and a deeper appreciation of its important truths. Our exploration of truth is yet incomplete. We have gathered up only a few rays of light. Those who are not daily students of the Word will not solve the problems of the Jewish economy. They will not understand the truths taught by the temple service. The work of God is hindered by a worldly understanding of His great plan. The future life will unfold the meaning of the laws that Christ, enshrouded in the pillar of cloud, gave to his people. One thing is certain, those Seventh-day Adventists who take their stand under Satan's banner will first give up their faith in the warnings and reproofs contained in the testimonies of God's Spirit. The call to greater consecration and holier service is being made and will continue to be made. Released October 1966.